Kane is in the building.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino, company from the Radio Bunker, joining us on the horn right now as he does on Tuesday mornings. He's an assistant basketball coach at Ohio University. Did his GA years under John Beilein at the University of Michigan. A Concordia alum. A Michigan man, as true as it ever is by definition. The man from the great state of Michigan, Kyle Barlow, the coach. Coach Barlow, first and foremost, my friend, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you today? How's life? How are things?
Things are great, man. Just going through the grind, the spring grind that every college basketball coach is going through right now. You know, you got the transfer portal. Some people are into it. Some people aren't. You know, some teams are. Some teams aren't. And then you got scheduling going on right now. A lot of scheduling going on. And I'll tell you what, man, it's tough. 2 years ago when we came to Ohio, we had phones were blowing up. Teams wanted to play us because we come off the coaching change, lose your top three leading scorers. Everybody in the country wanted to play us. Now, we got crickets. Can we get the cricket sound? That's exactly what it's like, man. So it's tough, man, but we'll survive. We'll try and get some games on there. If you know anybody, let me know.
Yeah, I don't, man, who would want to schedule you? Well, I can guarantee you one game, and I can guarantee a few games. They're all in conference, though, so I don't know. I don't know how much I can give you as far as, you know, games being scheduled out of conference, but it's quiet there is what you're telling me.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There we go. It's the reason that a lot of people say about NBA coaches coming to college. You know, just to be a successful NBA coach doesn't mean you're going to be a successful college coach and all those things. Because you know, the two biggest things you do in college is recruit and schedule. And in the NBA, you don't do either of those. So it's interesting perspective. Now you got Juwan Howard. You got Juwan Howard paving the way for NBA coaches now, or guys coming from the NBA. Let me ask you this. Do you think Juwan Howard, because now we've seen a couple NBA hires. We got Mike Woodson, you know, Stackhouse was an older one. I think we had another NBA hire this year. I'm throwing a blank on. Do you think, you know, the new norm is going to be the Juwan Howard, everybody trying to capture that magic, or do you think he's the exception and not the rule?
Oh man, you know, I don't, I think he's the exception because he's right in that age frame, that wheelhouse where I feel like Mike Woodson's a little bit removed from the college game. And I feel like, you know, if you had a Stack or Penny Hardaway, you know, some of these guys, you know, even the great, Patrick Ewing, you know, a little bit removed. Damon Stoudemire's name was floating around there potentially at Arizona. They decided not to go with Mighty Mouse, which I think is a travesty just because I liked him as, growing up watching him. But I don't know. I don't know if that's, I think the younger guys will have a little bit more success, especially if there's an attachment to that school. If you're an alum coming back, I think it means a little bit more. I think it's just something different than, you know, like, I don't know, any other NBA, Eric Spoelstra, let's say he got hired by Kentucky. Like, what's the attachment? What's the draw there? Juwan Howard has a true, genuine love for Michigan athletics and for the university itself, and I think that that's what makes him the exception to the rule. That, and he really, from all the sounds, it kind of feels like he enjoys recruiting. He enjoys the grind of it a little bit, and, you know, he's been successful at it so far.
They're better man than I, Bellino, probably you as well, because if I had the money that they had, I don't know if I'd enjoy the grind. I'd be at my beach house in Miami or my lake house in Miami loving life, right? Like, come on, man, what are we doing? How much is enough, Mr. Gecko? How much is enough?
Exactly, and that's part of the draw when everybody's like, oh, well, you know, you gotta back the Brinks truck up for Juwan Howard and had success. How do you pay Harbaugh? They always want to compare everything to what Jim Harbaugh makes, and it's like, yeah, the guy doesn't really need the money. So unless there's some crazy ego that I'm unaware of that he wants to be the highest paid coach on campus because he's having a lot of success, I mean, I guess maybe you could make that argument for him. But I don't see him being that kind of guy. He's never come across that way. Very humble. Always talks about being a servant and serving his players and serving the university and serving everybody. And the guy signed a 9-figure deal. Like, what are we talking about here? Yeah. Like, he's got the cash.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, speaking of Coach Howard and, you know, talking about the Michigan men's basketball program, there's been a lot of movement and it's well documented by yourself and others. And, you know, one thing I found interesting yesterday was reading the Shondi Brown comments. And here's a guy who came from Wake Forest, at a 3-year, 2-year starter maybe, I think, and then comes to Michigan and has a more limited role, but saying that this was the best year of his life and, you know, had the most fun he's ever had playing, one big family, you know. There's sometimes you get some cliches, and I would say more than the norm is you get cliches. Like every coach said, we're going to be the family. We're going to be a family. There's a nice Twitter thing out there right now that every coach in the country's press conference who got a job, Division I this year, about doing things the right way.
Got to do it the right way. That's right. You got to do it the right way. We're going to coach the right way, play the right way. We're going to win the right way, recruit the right way. I'm like, gee, what is the right way? My God.
Right. Well, if everybody's doing it the right way, how can we crown 18 national champions next year? We're going to have to figure it out, because if you do it the right way, that's the only way to do it, right?
Well, that means somebody's doing it wrong, right? Somebody's got to be doing it wrong.
Well, it's nobody who just got hired, because they don't do it right. So, but, you know, you hear that cliche, and, you know, in the clip it's awesome when they, you know, put them all in unison the right way. And, you know, and then you see a guy like Coach Howard and Juwan Howard and what he's done for, you know, the University of Michigan thus far, you know, really coming in there, like you said, about the ego. Look, you know, he'd be the first to say, you know, Coach Beilein built this thing up. And, you know, they took over and they tried to boost it, you know, but the foundation is Coach Beilein. And, you know, you look at a guy like Shondi Brown, he's been to other Division I schools. He's been to other programs. And for him to say that, such high remarks. So you really do feel like Juwan Howard is creating a family atmosphere. And you really do feel like that's what it takes to be successful. And he puts a lot of time and energy into that as well as recruiting.
Yeah, then there's really no doubt about it. It's pretty incredible. Kyle Barlow joined us, assistant coach at Ohio University. And, I know a lot of people are probably like, well, why are you having a basketball coach on? And it's, we're in the middle of April. We get the NFL draft covered because you're a Michigan sports fan. But we talk about a lot of different things outside of college hoops. And one of my questions for you is more on the college landscape as a whole. You mentioned scheduling. I'm one of those people that thinks that the NCAA needs to get a hold on this, especially when it comes to football, and we need to have some sort of set mandatory like scheduling. There needs to be a criteria. There needs to be they need to be the controlling power that they're supposed to be, and get some of these things taken care of. I don't know how you do it in basketball, 350 some odd teams. If there was a way that you could rotate conferences and everybody gets a game on some sort of rotating schedule, where you get like the Colonial gets to travel to the ACC 1 year and to the SEC the next year. I don't really know how you do it, and I don't know if you can force a big school to play a road game, you know, at Northern Illinois. You know what I mean? I just don't know if they can do that. But that's something I'd like to see. Do you think that the NCAA should get more involved, especially on the football side of things? Like, you know, why in the world are we playing Cupcake Week in the SEC in week number 10? Why doesn't the NCAA say, hey, here's the deal, everybody's going to play, you know, one game against your, you know, if you're a Power 5 school, you get 4 games, one against each of the other Power 4 conferences, and then you get a Group of 5 game in there too, and everybody's happy, everybody goes home.
Yeah, I think there's it's a slippery slope when it comes to that for both basketball and football, because, you know, you do like the free market aspect of scheduling, and, you know, coaches can, you know, create their own destiny in certain ways in their non-conference, and, you know, but don't forget, this is a huge way for, you know, especially in basketball, for your SWAC schools, your MEAC schools, you know, a lot of schools who maybe don't have football as a money revenue generator. It's a great way for them to make some money for the athletic department. There's some schools in NCAA Division I who basically are required to bring in $1 million a year for their athletic department, and they do that through guarantee games in basketball. So, you know, there's a lot of imbalance with it, and I think that's something as a fan, you don't really like the imbalance, right? Like, you think about Texas Southern 4 or 5 years ago, came in and played Toledo when I was there, and, you know, they were 0-9, but if you look at their 0-9, it was Texas, Gonzaga, USC,
Oregon, remember that.
Notre Dame, and it's like, you know, you got your guys coming in, and now they're coming into Toledo, you got your guys looking and saying, oh, this team's 0-9, they're trash, and it's like, you look, guys, this is the best 0-9 team in the country, you know? And they've made about 900 or 850K playing in those guaranteed games. So, you know, it is imbalanced. As a fan, you want some more balance, right? It'd be nice if, you know, it's like the NFL where the AFC South and the NFC North play, you know, 1 year and then you rotate it. But let's be honest, the reason that everybody is so drawn to pro sports is the parity, right? And the balance in football, especially, anybody can beat anybody. And that's just not the case in college athletics. So, you know, that's a long answer to not really give you an answer. But, you know, there's a lot more that is to be considered when it comes to that. Now, football, in my opinion, I think it needs to be addressed more than basketball because of the fact that we talk about on the show all the time is you're looking at – we get the same dang teams in the college football playoff every year.
Amen.
Only six teams who can go. And it's like so something needs to be addressed, and whether it's scheduling, whether it's the way it goes. You know, the reason people love the NCAA tournament is the Oral Roberts of the world. And, you know, you see Santa Barbara's who took Creighton to the wire, the Ohio's of the world knocking off Virginia. You know, that's the reason we love the college basketball tournament. And, you know, in college football, in my opinion, I think they're losing fans, you know, casual fans who's just not diehard about their schools. So you're losing casual fans, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would agree 100%. I think that we actually talked about this a little bit last week, and I asked the guys between the four major sports here in America and college football and college basketball, if you had to rank them 1 through 6, where would you put college football at? And the reason I brought that up is because you know, and it's not going to change, I don't believe, this year, but you know Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State are going to be three of the teams standing at the end, and it's like, who's that fourth team that gets an invitation to the tournament here? I just don't know if that's a great way to be about it. If you invited all the conference champions, then great. We put, you know, more emphasis on the conference play, and every game matters there. And I don't know, that's why I love professional football, because as you said, then it's the cliche that any given Sunday anybody can win, and it's just not that way in college football. And there's also this crazy expectation that you have to be perfect, and one loss ruins your year. And I feel like that is kind of I don't think that that's right. I think you'd be a good team and lose, and it's like, well, if Alabama lost in week two to, you know, Charleston Southern, well, I mean, the odds of that happening are pretty slim. But if they did, it doesn't mean that they're, you know, not a great football team and can't beat anybody else in the country.
Yeah, and you know, the counter argument to that, which I don't believe in, is, well, it's just great. Every game is a playoff game in college football, right? Because one loss might cause you a shot at the national title. It's like, I don't know how great that model actually is. But, you know, I digress. Not to beat a old dead horse, but, you know, I think, you know, scheduling wise, I think is a way that you can address maybe some of those problems that college football is seeing right now. And not to say basketball is perfect, but, you know, we're trying to, we got the crickets going right now. So I have my gripes about basketball, but that's just a personal gripe, right?
You know, on the basketball train, because something happened over the weekend. There was actually at an AAU event in Sandusky, Ohio, which for our listeners, doesn't matter if you're in Traverse City right now, if you're in, you know, if you're in West Michigan over in Grand Rapids, you've probably heard of Cedar Point. Well, Cedar Point has a recreational facility there, and at an AAU tournament, shots rang out in the parking lot in an altercation allegedly between a fan and a coach. I've not yet heard any further details about it. Something in regards to playing time, not 100% sure, but that's been the rumor going around on the internet. And that's one of the questions I have for you, Coach Barlow, is it seems like the AAU circuit is just out of control. You have these schools like the Imani Bates Academy or whatever the hell the name of that place is. Schools popping up out of nowhere. They're playing all these different schedules. And then you have, you know, kids that are, you would be promising high school athletes at, you know, let's say that a kid was going to go to River Rouge. Well, now he, you know, school of choice, he bounces out from there and he decides to join the Bates Academy and he's going to go play Chet Holmgren's team, the stud out of Minnesota who just committed to Gonzaga yesterday. A lot of people thought that, you know, Michigan would be, you know, in the run for him, but you know,
who thought that? A lot of folks on
the interweb, man, a lot of Michigan faithful. But it doesn't matter. We have Hunter Dickinson, and you know the guy. Chet Holmgren's a nice player and all, but the guy's built like Kevin Durant. He's like 130 pounds soaking wet. Like 7
Who would want Kevin Durant?
Yeah, well, he's built like him. I didn't say he plays like him. I say he's built like him. But it seems to me that basketball at the high school and at the youth level has an issue.
Yeah, you know, and I heard about that shooting, and you know, I don't think you can blame an isolated event on the whole culture of AAU, right? And I know that's not what you're doing. But, you know, it's people like, man, you know, see on Twitter, high school or AAU basketball reaches a new low. It's like, well, I don't think it's the fault of AAU basketball that, you know, there's a shooting and at the Cedar Point, you know, sports arena. I think that's just says a lot about our country as a whole, you know, and a lot of different political issues that I know we're not going to litigate here. But when you look at the AAU arena, it has a lot of positives, right? Helps kids get noticed who maybe are, you know, playing for a smaller high school and helps kids who maybe are going to play against better competition, helps them play against better competition. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positives that go along with it. Now you get a with that, you get, you know, the sense of entitlement that everybody said about this new millennium and new age or millennials or X generation Z, whatever you want to call, you know, they blame this culture, you know, everybody, you know, oh, we have silver bracket, we have gold bracket and a bronze bracket and everybody's a winner, you know, and hey, if you lose at 1 p.m. today, don't worry, we got a game at 3. You know, I hear that about college coaches saying that all the time. And, you know, at the end of the day, man, I think it's just like anything, you know, it can be really good, you know, really unfortunate events, but, you know, that this weekend, but doesn't that go to a lot of, you know, when you talk about either mental illness or gun control, you know, I think those are bigger issues and epidemics than AAU basketball culture.
Yeah, no, I mean, you do raise a very good point there. I just see, you know, I feel like there is some value in high school sports, and maybe I'm old, man. Maybe I'm a traditionalist here, and I want to see, you know, kids that, you know, grew up in a certain area go to certain high schools, and they build those high schools, and those programs have long standing traditions and legacies. And it's not, well, my kid didn't get any playing time here, so we're going to transfer schools and go there. And it's like, there's only 4,500 Division I basketball players and only like 380 NBA players. So if everybody just wants to take
1,400 of them are in the portal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like, portal madness. Right. I mean, it's outrageous to me. And it just feels like there's no end in sight. Everybody wants everything. We all want it right now. If we can't get it, we're going to go somewhere to go to find it. And I don't know if that's the answer.
Exactly. I think that's more of a sign of the times than the mediums or the devices that are being used. You know, college sports have been around forever. AAU has been around forever, believe it or not. You know, Jalen Rose and Chris Webber play on the same AAU team. So now you're talking 25 years ago. So a lot of these things have been around forever. Now, you know, things may be, you know, you got people who are now making money, more money off of it, or found a way to make more money. And so now it's going to be more about the money than the kids. It's just like anything when it comes to that. And, you know, I think that, I think there's a lot more positives than outweigh the negatives. But, you know, I think that blaming AAU or blaming certain things, I think that's just a device for a more bigger problem that we have, to be honest with you.
He is the coach, Kyle Barlow. He hangs out with us on Tuesdays, talk a little sports. We do a little portal action, a little AAU. Coach Barlow is always my friend. Thank you so much for your time today. We greatly appreciate you. Good luck this week, trying to get the schedule hammered
out.
Sir. And good luck in the portal, too.
Appreciate it. My cell phone's always open. Any of you Michigan Big Ten schools want to give me a call.
Go play Barlow and Company.